And the gospel for today, according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, I invite you to stand. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dearly beloved of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. September the 6th, 2018, Botham Jean, a 26-year-old accountant, shot and killed in Dallas, Texas, by his neighbor, Amber Geiger, an off-duty police officer who had entered his apartment and shot him dead. Geiger later said she was confused and mistakenly thought his apartment was her own. Thinking he was a threat to her, she shot him. 1 year later, at her trial, an emotional courtroom scene took place when Botham's younger brother, Brant, hugged Amber and said to her, "I forgive you. I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you because I know that's exactly what Botham would want." Botham's father, Bertram, said he also forgave her. "I don't want her to rot in hell," he said. "I don't want her to rot in prison. I hope this will help her to change and to recognize the damage, the hurt this has done to her family. So I wish her well, and I will pray for her family, and I will pray for her." The attorney for the family said that this was an extraordinary moment by an extraordinary family. "They are a very godly family," he said, "and what Mr. Bertram and Brant were talking about was her internal grace. Even though Allison, Botham's mother, had expressed there must be worldly consequences." Well, forgiveness is not easy. And some, in the name of justice, will cry foul and dispute the dispensation of forgiveness. When true forgiveness is offered, however, a great cost is exacted by those who extend it. If life is the greatest gift God has given to us, then forgiveness is the gift that sustains it. Forgiveness breathes life into our relationships and keeps them going. Without forgiveness, relationships shrivel up, dry up, and become lifeless. But when we forgive, we not only give the gift of life to others, we give the gift of life to ourselves, and we make possible a continued relationship with the one who has hurt us. Indeed, if life is the greatest gift God has given to us, forgiveness is the gift that sustains it. But how do we muster up that forgiveness? Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that this life is not easy, that in this life we experience pain and we dispense pain. We pray, O Lord, that you would look upon us with your mercy and favor this day, that you would change our hearts and transform us, that we might learn from our Lord Jesus and the example that he has given. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, in confirmation class a few weeks ago, we were studying one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Jonah. And I ask the question of the confirmands, who deserves the forgiveness of God? Well, they mused on that for a bit, and then the response was, everyone. Everyone deserves the forgiveness of God. Well, I had them stop and think a little bit more about that, and then we determined that although God, this is what they wanted to say, although God freely extends forgiveness and grace to everyone, forgiveness is not deserved by anyone. Forgiveness is a gift of grace. As with any spiritual value, forgiveness toward others is worked in our hearts as we first experience the forgiveness of God. Receiving the forgiveness of God works in us the possibility that we might forgive others. Jesus tells a parable of a man who has been forgiven a huge amount by his master, but then goes out to exact a pittance from someone in his debt. Although receiving forgiveness makes it possible for us to extend forgiveness to others, it is not a guarantee that we who have received forgiveness will go forth and do likewise. Case in point, King David. If you are listening carefully to that first reading from 1 Kings 2, I think some of you were because I saw in your faces, whoa, 1 Kings chapter 2. We come up to some of David's very last words that he speaks to his son Solomon, who will take over for him in his kingship. We read in Holy Scripture that David was a man after God's own heart, that David was arguably the best king Israel ever had. And yet Scripture does not pretend that David was a sinless man, nor does it cover up David's grievous sins. In fact, his sins are famous, something none of us would ever want said about our own sins, that everybody knew all about them. In Psalm 32, we read of David's personal account with sin, guilt, and forgiveness. David knew what it was like to bear the weight of guilt, to harbor sin internally. He experienced the futile and foolish endeavor of attempting to hide his sin from God. When I kept silent about my sin, he said, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And then when David had had enough, when he had reached his proverbial rock bottom, he acknowledged his sin before God. And he experienced the assurance of divine forgiveness and the peace and lightness of being that comes along with it. And so David could well say, how blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. How blessed is the one whose sin is covered. Experiencing the forgiveness of God encourages us and enables us to respond appropriately by forgiving others. But it is not always easy for us poor sinners. And sometimes we receive the gift of God's forgiveness and continue in our rebellious and retributive ways. Sadly, in David's last words and actions, he does not forgive his enemies, to whom he had actually promised no retribution. The legacy David leaves is not ambiguous. He makes his intentions well known. He as much as orders hits on his enemies and has his son Solomon carry out the work. You know what to do, Solomon. You're a wise young man. And so when David's promised descendant arrives on the scene, almost 1,000 years later, we find quite a contrast. We see a contrast in this son of David, this man Jesus, who would do things very differently. He would be an altogether different kind of king. From what some would call his earthly throne, the cross of Calvary, Jesus declares in some of his last words a much different petition. In fact, it is diametrically opposed to what his ancestor David had said. Whereas David appealed to his son to wreak revenge on his enemies, the son of David implores his father to forgive the sinners in his presence before any outward signs of confession or repentance are shown. "Father, forgive them," Jesus utters. In some of the last recorded words before his death, Jesus speaks these life-giving words, and one wonders if he is referring to the criminals crucified at his side or the soldiers sorting out his meager possessions at his feet. "They know not what they do," Jesus says. "Father, forgive them." In Jesus, we see a clear example that forgiveness is extended in grace. It is not deserved. It simply comes from the heart of a generous, compassionate, and loving God. And as the confirmation kids knew well from deep within themselves, this forgiveness is extended to all of God's beloved children, to all of us, who so many times do not know what we do. In this series on the legacy of last words, we have considered the faithfulness of God as the foundation of our spiritual legacy. We've considered gratitude and dedicated commitment to service of others as faithful response to the faithfulness of God. And today we consider, as God's beloved children, that we are a forgiven people. We rejoice that we have come to know God as one who graciously forgives us when we openly confess our sin before him. And truly, we come to know God as one who extends his forgiveness even before our own repentance and confession. His forgiving grace can indeed work repentance in us. This is an important part of the legacy Jesus has left us, something we should treasure and cherish, and one we rightly extend to our friends, our neighbors, our children, and even our enemies. The Apostle Stephen, sometimes referred to as the first Christian martyr, dies in a way that is very similar to his Lord. In some of his last words about Jesus, he is judged by his listeners at having spoken blasphemy, and they are moved to pick up rocks and stone him to death. But Stephen appeals to God not to hold the sin against them. Certainly, this is evidence of the forgiveness of God that had worked in Stephen's own heart, evidence of the forgiveness that he himself had received from the throne of grace. I pray that on my deathbed, I do not respond as King David responded, that my last words will not be words of animosity against those who have hurt me, caused me pain. I pray that my last words would be akin to those of Jesus and of Stephen, words of grace and forgiveness extended to any and to all who have caused me pain. And I pray that those who are there to witness my last words will be moved in their deepest being and experience the power of forgiveness and incorporate that forgiveness as a meaningful spiritual value in their own lives. The best way to get there, of course, is to practice the hard work of forgiveness in my earthly days. And I have found no better way to do that than to be reminded again and again of the gracious forgiveness poured out for me in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Our brother Martin Luther, on this his birthday, said that when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he did everything sufficient for our forgiveness from God. That Jesus alone did everything required for our redemption. And when asked what allowed him and his son to be so forgiving, Bertram Jean said, "That's what Christ would want us to do." Praise be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, we struggle with this subject. We so easily receive forgiveness from you and so quickly go merrily on our way. And we find it so hard to extend forgiveness to others, especially when they seem to be unrepentant. We pray that you would work your will in us and show us, O Lord, that when we forgive, we are not only releasing others, but we are setting ourselves free and opening up a future that you would have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.